Today's Shir Masechta Bava Metzia Daf Samach Beis. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Samach Aleph on the Beis, the last words of the Amid. In our previous year, we had a discussion about Ribbis Katsutsa. If somebody had paid Ribbis, if Dayanim could demand that it should be given back. Amar Avnachmi Yitzchak, my time to Belozer, what is the basis for Belozer's opinion that Dayanim could demand that the Ribbis Katsutsa, that the malva received must be given back? Dama Kro, the pasuk says, "Al tikach meitoy neshech v'tabis v'reis melakech v'chay achicha imach." Says the Gemara, the way to understand that pasuk is a hadalei, give him back what was taken, give back the loiva, the ribbis that he paid, keicha denaychi, in order that he should be able to survive in a way that in a reasonable fashion, without having to have to pay this ribbis. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rabbi Lezer, and he holds the ribbis ktsutsa, dayonim, do not demand that it be paid back. Hai v'chai achich me'avadlei, what does he use this pasuk for? Says the Gemara, mebalei chretanya. It's neat for what we learned in the Braisa. The Braisa teaches us, shnayim shayim b'halchim b'derech, two people are traveling. Biyat achad mehem yesh kitun shamayim, and one of them has a pitcher of water, and there's not enough water for both of them to drink and be able to get home, get to a place where there's water. So im shnaisim shem, if they both will drink this water, if shnaisim meisim, they both will die because there's just not enough water for the two of them. But if one of them will drink, then Magil Yishuv, he'll be able to get successfully to a place where there's water. Darsh Ben Patura, so Ben Patura explained, Mutav Shiyishtu Shteim, it's better that they both should drink, Vayir Echemhem V'misasai Shel Chaveroi, versus one of them should stand by and watch the other person pass away. Achabar B'kiva V'limit, and Terab B'kiva taught us, your life comes first. So we really need to understand Ben Vatura's opinion. Because he can't fulfill the obligation of a chai achicha, that he should help his other person live, should he put himself to die? So one pshat that I saw that the Mefarshim suggest is that we know that even though for most mitzvahs, the halach is Yaviv al yaharug, do the mitzvah rather than give up your life. The exception to that rule is Ritzicha, killing somebody. There the halach is Yaharug val yaver. So he says that by not giving the water to the other person, you're causing him to chas v'shalom perish. And that means you're causing Ritzicha. And that's why you have to be ready to give it up. So the question is, this is the Michas Chinuch's explanation. So now the question is, so why not give the entire water to the other person? Because he says then what would happen is that the other person would have to give you the water. And it would go back and forth. That's why in order to avoid that back and forth, each one should give half of the water to the other one. Rabbi Chanan, and it's based on Rabbi Chaim Brisker, says that the pshat is that the law, that of course Ben Petura is of the opinion that as Rabbi Kiva just taught us, chayecha kaim el chay chavercha, your life comes first. Ben Petura was of the opinion that it's not going to be imminent if you drink all the water and give nothing to the other person. In other words, what he says is give half the water to the other person, keep the half the water for yourself. What we're going to have is that each one of us will have chayus shor, temporary. And the halacha is, as the Gemara Masech Yumadah Pehei Amin Alf teaches us, that a chayus shor, even temporary life, is valuable. And therefore, I should have chayus olam, that I should be able to completely survive at the expense that you should not even have chayus shor. That's what Ben Petura holds as wrong. And that's why we should both have Chaya Shah, and we don't have to be concerned about Chaya Olam. Along the same line, Rabbi Issa Zalman, the Evan Ozel, explains that by giving Ben Peturis reasoning is by each one of us taking half the water, what's going to happen is that we will have Chayishah, and if it's possible, in that time, somebody will come with water. And therefore, Ben Baturah says, let's each one of us take half the pitcher of water. By each one of us taking half the pitcher of the water, we'll have Chayishah, and then there's always the hope and the chance that the water will come. The Shari Tshuva says that the same halacha that we're learning, the Rekivu Kudas Halacha, the Chayecha Kaidman, also applies to mitzvahs. He says, for example, he quotes this in Arachayim Simon Tuf Pei Beis. If I only have one kazayis of matzah, I don't have to give away from that kazayis. What we should do is, I should eat the whole kazayis, even and fulfill the mitzvah properly, and not give any of the matzah to the, not have to give any of the matzah to the other person. And the same, he says, the Shari Tshuva, even if it's a situation of hefker, where there's a piece of matzah which is hefker in front of us, we should give, and I could take it for myself, I don't have to leave it for the other person. The Chiddush Arim has a different question. He says there's a person walking, and there are two people walking along with him. I have water. I don't need any water. I'm fine. And if I give only one of these two people, I have this water. If I give both, neither will survive. If I give one, he'll survive. So now we don't have what Rabbi Akiva taught us, points out the Chiddush Arim, of Chayecha Kaidman, because it's not my life on the line. So there, says the Chiddush Arim, the halach would be that I should put the water between the two of them, divide it, and that'll be it. The Chazon Ish says that the person has to, that since Rabbi Akiva told us that it's better to have one person, that included in what Rabbi Akiva teaches us, is that one person having permanent life supersedes two people having Chayishah, and therefore he suggests that I should choose one of them. He says, the Sefer Yad Avram, along this line, says, let's say somebody was captured by the king, and if he'll run away, the king will take somebody else. The halacha is that you may run away, even though what that may cause doesn't make a difference. Says the Gemara, that says the Chazon Ish and the Gris Moshe, that now that we pass on like a Bekiva, that Chayecha Kaidman, even if I want to be magnanimous and I want to give the water to other person, the halacha is he is not allowed to take the water. Because they both explain, once Rabbi Akiva, everything is viewed from the perspective of halacha. And once the halacha teaches us that Chayecha Kaidman, that's the halacha not just for me, it's the halacha for the other person as well. And he has to not take the water, because that's what the halacha discusses. We learned earlier about a friend and an enemy, and we discussed how you have to take care of your enemy sometimes before your friend. We learned, Oyev Lifroik, Sina Litoin. You have a friend that's carrying a heavy load, and your enemy needs to be loaded up. So we learned, even though taking off a load usually takes precedence over loading, here, mitzvah b'sayna, the mitzvah takes precedent of loading up the other animal, k'day lokuf ef yitzroi. Because as we explained at that time, in the words of Reb Chask Levenstein, the Ponovich and Mashgiach, that our purpose in life is to overcome the Yetzer Hara. Says Dimri Emes, that halacha is only in the case that I just mentioned, a prika of tina, but that doesn't apply over here, that if I have water and the person who's walking along with me is my enemy, that I should have to give him my water. The Sefer Kol Mevaser says that Ben Peturah has a point, as we explained. The Halach is like a Rekiva, but Ben Peturah has a point. And therefore, even though I take the water for myself, it should not be something that I'm happy to do. I should only do it because that's what the Halacha tells me to do. But I should really want to help my friend. So the Ben Yoyada asks a question that v'chaya chicha imach, and that maybe we weren't sure, but isn't there halacha of ein l'cha dova sh'omer b'kiwach nefesh, that everybody has to do, has to be concerned about b'kiwach nefesh? So he explains that even though there's a concept of b'kiwach nefesh, we are in this world to do chesed. And maybe since we're in the world to do chesed, that should supersede the halacha of b'kiwach nefesh. The pasuk says, v'ahavta l'reacha kamaycha, zeh klal gadol b'Torah. If that's the halacha, and who said that? Rabbi Akiva. Yet it's the same Rabbi Akiva who says in our shir, chayecha koydmin l'chay olam haba. So Chassam Sofer explains, there's a difference between olam hazeh issues and olam and ruchnis, olam haba issues. When it comes to olam hazeh, what we're learning in our Gemara, preserving your life, that's where the halacha is, chayecha koydmin. But when it comes to helping your colleague grow in ruchnius, there the halacha is v'haftal rach kamaycha zeh klal gadol b'toira. The shayl sechuvas igris moisha, Evan Ezra chelik dalet simin chavav ois dalet, asks on the Chassam Sofer, because he says that the Gemara in Masechet Kedushin daf chav tes amar aleph teaches us who lil moed, if somebody has the opportunity to learn, and he could help his son learn, who kind of benoy, he should take care of himself first. So he asks, the Chassam Sofer is saying that when it comes to Torah, we have to worry about other people. So how do we reconcile the Chassam Sofer with that Gemara? So he says that a person, it depends where a person is standing in Ruchnius. If a person already has learned, and the other person hasn't learned, so there the halacha is that you have to teach the other person Torah. But in a place where I already know how to learn, and the other person, that's where, but if a place we both know how to learn, that's where the Gemara says that you should take care of you, that's where you take care of yourself first. The Chiddush HaRim asks, the Gemara says, At Shabbat Rabbi Akiva, What is the wording at Shabbat Rakiva Velimid? He says that there are certain questions that are so complicated and so difficult that are not the type of questions that everybody could answer. And that's what the Gemara means to say here. At Shabbat Rabbi Kiva Velimid. We needed Rabbi Kiva. When the Gemara had this very difficult question, what do we do in this type of situation? That's when the Gemara says, at Shabbat Rabbi Kiva v'limeid, that you have to do whatever you have to do. So here we're learning that even though you have to do whatever you can, your life comes first, but nobody disagreed with Ben Petura that if you're in a good place, but your friend is in a difficult place, not that you have to do whatever it takes to help your friend. So the question is, if there's somebody who's in a precarious situation, and he needs to have a very serious operation, how much are we obligated to spend to help that person? Is it, since it's a question of pikuach nefesh, do I have to give everything I have away to save him? Or is that not the halachim? So the Cheshuke Chemed has a long discussion, and because he makes an argument that the regular halacha, the usual halacha of how much one has to give up to save somebody, maybe ought not to be applicable here. But at the end, he says that since there's halacha by all tzedakah of having mevazbeis, ayivazbeis yosim mechaimish, when it comes to giving tzedakah, one need not spend more than 20% of his money. He says the same halacha would apply here. And therefore, he says in this situation, the halacha would be that you don't have to spend, even though the person is in a very bad place, you don't have to give away more than 20%. Says the Gemara. Meisvei, the Gemara goes back to the subject of ribbis. The Gemara asks, we go back to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is the ribis kitzutza ain't a yotze b'dayonim. The yonim don't try to get back the ribis. Meisvei, the Gemara says, there's a situation where you had sons whose father passed away, and the father left over money that he had obtained through ribis. Api shiyodim shemos hein shal ribis. Even though the children are well aware that the way the father received this money was through ribis, ein chayovim lachsiram, they're not obligated to return it to the loiva. It seems that this obligation, there is no obligation on the children to have to give away their money. Ha aviyam, it seems that the father himself, chayiv lahachzer, would have to be give away what he got. But isn't this halacha contrary to what Rabbi Yochanan taught us? Rabbi Yochanan just taught us that you don't have to give away your money to save somebody else. Answers the Gemara, but then who davi and nami loy mechayiv lahachzer. Says Rabbi Yochanan, the way to understand the brisa is that even the father is actually not obligated to give back. So if that's the case, why does the Gemara focus on the son? Why does the brisa focus on the son? The brisa could have focused on the father. Answers the Gemara, either the Kabbalah misni sefer, because the sefer wants to teach us that if the case is hiniach lahem aviyam, if the father left them over something which is identifiable as ribis, torah, a cow, vitalis, the kol dovah masuyim, anything that is identifiable and that we can know that he had received this through ribis, then da loch is chayov and lahachzer. And the reason is b'nei kfar aviyam, because everybody knows when they see that this, they have this identifiable object, that everybody's going to be able to say the reason that they have identifiable object is because he got it from ribis. So that's why, and even though it was the father's, not theirs, so in order to remain consistent, Tana Nami Resha V'datu, the Resha also speaks about them. But the same halacha would actually apply in both, but the father doesn't have to return. But ask the Gemara, Vahani, but we just identified that in certain situations, if the father had obtained something through ribis, the sons have to return it. But ask the Gemara, are the children obligated to return something out of respect to the father? But why should this not be a situation, asked the Gemara, Kri Khan? The Pasuk says, V'nosi ba'amcha loysar. And from there we learn, only with oise ma'ase ma'amcha, that you have to do, only if the father acts in a Torah way, do we have to show this respect. This father is not showing respect. The Rishonim point out that Rabbi Yochanan agrees that lots of Sodei Shemayim, to do what's right, you should give it back. So why is this such a difficult price? So maybe we should say it's lots of L'shem De'aviyam. So the answer is, then the word Chayovim is an inappropriate word. If it's only something that you have, that you do because you want to do, the price should not have used the word Chayovim. So the question is, why should they be responsible to show respect to such a father? So from here we see that a father who doesn't act in an appropriate manner, there's no chiyuv kibud of ein. But the Rishonim and Achronim say that doesn't mean if he violated and didn't act properly once that we don't have to show him derech eretz. This Bryce is speaking about a case where this is the way the father earned a living, by doing this type of illegal activity of taking ribis. Just because somebody does something the wrong way once doesn't disqualify him. The Rambam in Hilchas Mamrim, Perek Vav Halacha Yud Aleph, says Adam Chai B'Kfayet Aviv, a person has to show respect to his father, Afilo Merosha, even if the father is a Rosha Baal Averis. So all the Rishonim ask, Al Gemara clearly says different than that. So the Kesef Mishnah explains that what the children don't have to show respect is only in a case where the father had no intention to return it. But in a place where the father had intention to return it, they would also have to show respect. That's pshat in the Rambam. The Pnei Yeshua has a very different pshat in the Rambam, a very beautiful pshat.
He says, yes, the Rambam is of the opinion that even a father who doesn't act appropriately, the children have to show him respect. But says the Rambam that that's only in a case where in the mitzvah that we know he was careful. So if there was a mitzvah that the father was careful in, even though the father is not careful in this mitzvah, even though the father is not careful in other mitzvahs, I have to show him respect. But explains the Pnei Yeshua that even the Rambam will agree, as is the case in our Gemara, where there's a mitzvah that the father is obviously not careful about. In the case of our Gemara, the father is not careful about ribbis. In such a case, the children don't have to show respect to the father and worry about the ribbis that he did. Says the Gemara, so if that's the question, why under any circumstances would the children have to return the ribbis that the father got improperly? Answers the Gemara, we find Rav Pinchas says in the name of Rava that the father did tshuva, then this halacha doesn't apply. What does that mean? Case, the Rishonim explained that we saw that the father, before he passed away, was now being careful about ribbis. So the fact that we see that the father had become careful about hilchus ribbis is very much an indication that he died having done tshuva. And since it's an indication that the father had died doing tshuva, so now the father is considered an oisa ma'asa amcha, and we have to show him that respect. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat along the same line is that the children saw that the father, before he passed away, was now lending money and not taking ribbis. So that's an indication that the father had done tshuva. Since we have an indication that the father had done tshuva, that's why under these circumstances, they do have to show this respect. He also tshuva, but asked the Gemara, if as was saying, the father did tshuva, so now my boy Gabe, so why is this still with him? And says the Gemara, Shlohispik lahachsa at shemes. He was going to do tshuva. He was going to return all the rebbes that he had, didn't have an opportunity before he passed away. Meisvei asked the Gemara. The Braisa teaches us, hagazlonim, if somebody's a gazlon, or mavi beribis, or he lends money beribis, av pishugavu, even if they collected the money, dalocha machzirin. So ask the Gemara before we go any further. Gazlonim mai av pishugavu iku. So ask the Gemara, what is the definition of the words by gazlonim, even though they collected? What do those words mean? E gozel gozel. If they stole the money, so it's stolen money. V loy gozel. And if they haven't stolen any money, gozlin and krisle, why they call gazlonim? A gazlonim mai ninhu. Says the Gemara, the way to understand the braisa, that what is the definition of gazlonim? Someone who's malvi beribis, lends money on interest. And daloch is api shegavu, even though they had collected the ribis, machzirim. So this is clearly a refutation of Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, who says that you don't have to return. Says the Gemara, we're going to have to suggest that this question, if somebody who borrowed money with ribis, lent money with ribis, has to return it, is actually machloikus tanoimhi. The Tanya of Tanoihi, the Tanya of Nechemir of Elizabeth Yaakov, poitrim in Samalva. Somebody, they say that the Malva, the Orav and the guarantor, Neshiesh Bekumva say, that even though they took ribis and they ought to be getting malchus, they don't, because it's a ribis that can be, it's an averi that can be corrected. My kumva say, how could it be corrected? La mishum damina lukuma adura. Go return the ribis. Mechlal, obviously the Tanakama who disagrees and says that there is malchus for ribis, Savar is of the opinion la b'nei adura ninhu. So the Gemara is saying that this question that we are discussing is actually machlokes tanoim. Says the Gemara, loy, it's not necessarily that the case. Everybody can agree that you have to return the ribis. Amai kuvasei. So what does Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov and Nechemya mean that this kuvasei lekroy shtara, that the document that has the ribis will be ripped up? Amai kusover. Ask the Gemara, and therefore, in that case, it's correctable, and that's why there's no malchus. Ask the Gemara, so what it means to say is, by ripping up the document that had a ribbis obligation in it, you could save yourself from the Aveiro. Ask the Gemara, let's analyze this. Mikasover, Ikasover Shtar, Amilagriska Govidami, that a shtar that is a good shtar, even though the time or the actual collection has not yet come, that locha is that it's considered as if it was collected on. So ask the Gemara of the Sarayu, how can we say, well, we'll rip up the shtar? If the shtar is considered a full-fledged shtar the moment it's written, so then it's already an issue. V'lafka govidami, and if it's not considered already collectible until it's actually collected, so then the shtar itself, lav aviv leklum. So it's a meaningless piece of paper. Answers the Gemara, until the shtar is actually acted upon, it's nothing. What we're learning from here is shuma milsehi. Even though the shtar was not acted on yet, but the writing of such a shtar, even though it wasn't acted upon, is already a violation of the issa ribis. And Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov ben Nechemya are teaching us, but this could be corrected by ripping up the shtar. And says the Gemara, Hochi nami mistabro, the Tanan, the Mishnah we're going to learn that Ein Hei Beis teaches us, Ve'elo Oivrin Beloisa say, these people are involved in the Issa Ribis. Hamalva, the lender, Va'aloiva, the borrower, Ha'arva, the guarantee, Va'edim, the Edim. Bishlama, so we understand, the Malvin, the Loiva, and the Ariv all did something that means that they were participating in the Ribis. El Edim, my Ovid. What did the Edom do? They just sat there and watched. Shmamina. It must be that participating in any way in creating ribbis situation, shuma milsehi, is considered already the violation of ribbis. Shmamina. But Reb Lezer ben Yaakov and the Chemi to repeat say that could be corrected by ripping up that shtar. Amar Rav Safra. So Rav Safra now says, how do we know when is it a situation of ribbis and when is it not? So it says, Amar Rav Safra, kol she'ilu b'dineim. And of course, in secular law, there is no problem with ribbis. So says Rav Safra, any situation that if this obligation of this transaction was brought to non-Jewish court, metzin loivel malva, the court would force the loivel to pay the malva that ribbis. So it's considered ribbis, and b'dineinu machzirim, the halach is that we have to make the malva return that ribbis. However, malva loiva, the malva has to return that ribbis. However, kol she'ilu b'dineim emetzim loiva l'malva, if it's not considered actionable in court, and the court would not demand that the loiva pay the malva that ribbis, b'dineinu, if the ribbis was paid under such circumstances, emetzirin mi malva loiva, the malva doesn't have to return it. So of course the Achroinim try to understand, why is the Gemara trying to bring in what secular court does as a determination? So the Achroinim explain, as we're going to learn, the Rabbi Issazam and Eben Ozel explains, that there are many conditions to ribbis. And not every case that looks like ribbis, even though it looks like this firm interest, is really ribbis. The only way to really know that it's real ribbis katsutza is this way. And that's why the Gemara uses this rule. Amalei Baal Rabbi Yosef Kololahu, I'll prove to you that this is not correct. We've been speaking, and we're going to be speaking often about the case of Sobasov. I borrow from you a pound of apples. I may not return under certain circumstances a pound of apples because the price fluctuates. And I may be giving you back something that's more valuable than I borrowed. Now, the halacha is, according to secular law, the v'neim etzim eloi v'lemalva, if I borrowed from you a pound of apples, according to secular law, I have to return it. But as far as halacha is concerned, this is not real ribbis because it's only a possible case of ribbis if the price goes up. And where it's not ribbis katsutza, so how could you say they travel together? Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef responds to Abai, Inu, they are of the opinion, not because of ribis. When they say that if I borrowed from you a pound of apples, I have to return the pound of apples, it's not a ribis question. But Torah's Bekod Nosli Yadei. It's a question that if I was asked to watch something of yours, so of course the secular court gets involved in making me pay back what I borrowed. But when the secular court says that I have to pay back what I borrowed, it's not a ribis question that they're saying I have to return it. The reason they're saying I have to return it is because I have to return what I borrowed. And therefore, when the rule was said that when any ribis is acted upon in secular court, I have to, in Jewish court, return, this is not because of, it's not a ribis question. It's a very different question. It's a question of pikadon. Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Mishkanta Beloy Nechiaisa. If somebody lent money to someone else, and the person put up a piece of property as collateral, and the malva is eating the payris of that piece of property for the duration of the loan, and then when it comes to the time of payment, so he's going to get paid whatever he's owed, and he also ends up, besides getting paid for whatever he lent, he's also getting paid the payris that he ate that entire time. So the question is, what will be the halacha? Will the halacha be that he keeps it, that he can keep it or not? That's Mishkanta B'loi Nechiyaisa. The B'dineim, if we look in secular court, might see M'loi V'lamalva. The halacha is that if the loiva ate the payris during this time, they really belong to the malva, because that is acceptable interest. And B'dineinu, but in our case, it's not ribis katsutza. So since it's not ribis katsutza, the halacha is that emachzim emalva l'loiva. So we see that the two halachas don't travel together. Says the Gemara again, over there, when the non-Jewish court, when the secular court gets involved in such a case, it's not because the secular court is of the opinion that this is ribis that has to be collected. It's a whole different situation. The Torah Zvina Osliyadeh. There it's because it's considered a sale. The property was sold from the loiva to the malva, and included in the sale from the loiva to the malva is that that the malva is the owner of the property, gets those payris. And therefore, the halacha is that that's why court gets involved. Says the Gemara. So if we just learned all these cases, we learned the cases that are exceptions. We learned the cases that are not exceptions. So when we started this sugya, and the Gemara taught us, the Rav Safra came to teach us this halacha. So ask the Gemara, Kol she'ilu by the name to come Rav Safra. This rule that Rav Safra came to teach us, my asal shminin. Why was he trying to teach us with this halacha? Says the Gemara, hachi asal shminin. What he was trying to teach us with this halacha, any situation where in the court system they force the loiva to pay the malva, in Besdin they make the machsir malva loiva, they make the malva return. What does that mean? My new, what does that mean? Ribis katsutza. What is the definition of ribis katsutza? The definition of ribis katsutza is where the set interest made up. Where I lent you $100, and there's expectation you're going to pay me back $120. Could Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Lezer said, Kol she'ilu b'neim emetzim, any case where the secular court would not force, emetzim b'deneinu emachzirim, what does that mean? What is God coming to teach us? Ribis McDermott, if somebody gave money to a malva, before any loan transaction took place, with the intention that because I gave you this payment, when I will need money, you'll lend it to me. Or ribis mucheris. Definition of ribis mucheris is that you lent me money, there was no ribis attached to it, and then later on, I gave you a payment. There the halacha is that even though these are wrong, there's no, they're not considered ribis. And in such cases, that since they're only osum midrabbanon, the malva does not have to return that money to the loiva. So the Mishnah continued teaching us. Ketzad, what does that mean? Lokichimana chitim bedinah, zov, hakorva kenashar. That means a person gave somebody else, gave somebody a dinah zov, which is equivalent to 25 dinar kesef, to get a kor of chitin, to have a contract to receive a kor chitin. And that was the price. And since that was the price, as we learned and will learn, this is a completely legitimate transaction. Then chitin went up to 30 dinrim for a kor. And the person who bought those chitin said, give me my wheat, because I want to be able to sell that wheat and buy wine. And if you would have given him the wheat, so there would be no problem. They made a deal, fair and square. But if the seller now says to him, instead of giving you the chitin that I owe you, I have to give you what now is equal to 30 dinrim of chitin, and I'm going to give you wine, and he doesn't have any wine, it's considered that he violates ribis with rabbanon. Ask the Gemara, why should it make a difference if he actually has wine or not? But Tanan, we're going to learn a mitzvah shem on the Mishnah on daf ayin beis on a beis. Ein poskin la peiros. One cannot make a contract on fruit until there's a firm price. And as Rashi says, the definition of a firm price is that the price of this commodity has been set. If the price of the commodity has not yet been set, even though there are people who are already trading with that commodity, that's not called that the price has been set. However, Yotza Shar, if the price has been set, even though the person with whom I'm doing the deal doesn't have, at this point, that commodity, Paiskim, you can make a contract with that person. Because Apish Ein Lezeh, Yesh Lezeh, because even though if the person who I'm doing the deal with doesn't have that available, it shouldn't make a difference. The reality is that he could get it because it's a commodity that has a set price. So why in our Mishnah, if the person doesn't have it, does it make a difference? It shouldn't make a difference if he has it or not. As long as the price has been set, it should be enough, as the Mishnah teaches us. Amar Rabba, to which Rabbi answers, Masnisim Ba'alocha B'demei Maskinim. Our Mishnah is speaking about a case that the seller did not give the buyer the money, where he wants to make a deal. And he wants to say that instead of the money you owe me, instead of what I owe you, I should be able to give you wine. So since he didn't give him any money, even though the price has been set, it doesn't make a difference. Because only if I gave money and he could have bought it, so then I could say, well, even if I don't have it, I could always get it for you. But if I didn't actually give him money, I only gave him forgiveness of a loan, that is inadequate. Okay, Tanya. And where do we see this? A brisa. The brisa says, you owe me $100. And I come to the loiva's warehouse. And I say, you owe me $100. Give me my $100 that you owe me. And I say, the reason I want to do it is because I want to buy wheat with this $100. Amaloi, so the loiva says to me, chitim yesh to shani noisen loch. I give you chitim. Save us a lekashar shal achshav. How much wheat could you buy for $100? How much chitim could you buy for a mana? And that's what you will get. Vanielach kal shnei masachoydish. And he says, I'm going to supply to you of over 12 months. So the aloch is, oh sir, you can't do this. It's not like when I gave money. So the Gemara says, it's a difference if I come to you and I pay for something, even though you don't give me the commodity, I'm giving you money. So that's enough to make it into a transaction. Here, however, I didn't give you anything. I just for giving you a loan, that is not enough to make it a valid transaction. Amalei, says the Gemara, if that's what shot in the Mishnah of the Brice is, the lav kisur abal yado, because money wasn't actually transferred, my area, elo yayin, the Mishnah said, when I wanted to transfer the wheat you owe me into wine, So it depends if you have wine or not. If the point of the Mishnah, the point of the Braise is that of course nothing tangible is transferring, that's the issue. So what's the difference if you have wine or not? Afiliyesh lo yayin, even if he has wine, nami the same halacha ought to apply. Elam Abaya, says the Gemara, where Abaya says, how do we understand our Mishnah? The way to understand the Mishnah is Kedetani Rav Safra, Beribis Terbei Rav Chiya. As Rav Safra explained when they were learning Hilchos Ribis in the Yeshiva Rav Chiya. The Tani Rav Safra, Beribis Terbei Rav Chiya, Yesh Devarim Shemitarim, there are situations that are not really Ribis, but they are Surim of Neha Rabbis Ribis. The Chazal said you shouldn't do it because it looks like Ribis. And the Bryce explains itself. Ketzad, Amalei Haveni Mana. I come over to you and I say, please lend me a mana, which is equivalent to 25 slime. Amalei, and you tell me, mana only. I can't lend you money. I don't have any available cash. However, chitin mana yesh lishani yasalach. I'm able to give you chitin that are equivalent of that amount of money. V'nasim loy chitin mana. And he indeed gave me that amount of chitin. And the Rishonim point out, going back to something that we learned earlier in the Masechta in Perek Hazov, that I actually did a kinyan. V'nasim loy chitin mana. Chaza v'lachach mehem, and afterwards, the v'chaza v'lachach menu, besim v'arbasela. The price went down, and the loiva sold the malva, the chitim, for 24 sela. One sela less than they're really worth. So why did I do it? Because I'm desperate for cash. So even though I got chitim that were worth 25, I need the cash. So I sell it, and I take a discount, mutter. But, asalasis kain, one may not do what this system that we just described, because, mnei aramas ribis, it says, it looks like ribis, where I'm giving you back, where you're earning money, because you lent me money. The Ramban says, that this is only aramas ribis, because it wasn't spoken out. But if it was spoken out, that's what I'm going to do, that I'm going to sell it back to you, and you'll give at a discount, that would be ribis deraisa. Says the Gemara, hochinami. Says the Gemara, that's the same how we're going to explain our Mishnah. And the Gemara elaborates. Kigon Amma, where the loiva says to the malva, helveni shloshim dinrim, lend to me 30 dinrim, amle, and the malva tells the loiva, shloshim dinrim only, I don't have 30 dinrim cash available, but I have chitin b'shloish dinrim yesh lishani noslach. I have chitin that are worth 30 dinrim that I'm willing to give you. The noslach chitin b'shloish dinrim, and he gave him the chitin of that value. The lochimenu, and then he bought the chitin back with dinazov for 25. Yes lechamra leloiva. So now the Mishnah says, if the loiva has wine, the yovle b'shloish dinrim, if at the time of the payment he gave him back wine, that's equal 30 dinrim. Peru de shakam kamakalei. He takes the peiris, not money, for less lamba. That's not considered ribis. Because at the beginning, he took money, and now he's giving back fruit. So it doesn't look like ribis. Viloi. But in a case where he doesn't have wine, kiven the less lechamra, if he doesn't have wine, ma de sheshka mezuzamine. He's going to take money. And the money is less, he's making money on his money. At the beginning he gave him 25, and now he's getting 30. Even though it's not ribis, because he's just buying at a discount, it looks like ribis. Says the Gemara, that could be a good way of explaining the Mishnah, says Rava. Yochi ten lichiti, the mei chiti mebayli. But the Mishnah says, when he asked for the chitin, he should have said that I want the money. That's what he's asking. Says the Matuni, the mei chiti. Says the Gemara, shani Tanli chitni, sheni roi tzala machram, says the Gemara, that's not the right words. What happened was, shemechatim b'vayle, they says that I sold the chitim. Tani shemechatim lach. Says the Gemara, arei chitach asuyas le b'shloshim dimrim, says the Gemara, if that's the case, and I want to turn the transfer into wine, says the Gemara, mikar nami ha kimnule, that was the value from the beginning. Hakamle, the mei chitim shasuyas le b'shloshim dimri, halei etzk b'yayin, you owe me 30 dinner of chitin, I want to transfer into wine, v'yayin ein loy. Says whoever dinazav, the Mishnah said that he bought dinazav a can of shaktani. That was what it was worth all along at the beginning, and now it became up. How can we say that what the Mishnah means that they were worth originally 30 and now they went down to 25? That's not the wording of the Mishnah. And because of these questions, Rava gives a different explanation, which we will continue with in our next year.